You know, I once heard someone tell me that they were busier after retiring than they were when they were working. Busyness is very easy to become our way of life, where doing so much overrides who we are. We care for the sick, we volunteer, we build our businesses, we build our families, and they're all wonderful things to do. But how often do we take time out of our busy schedules to slow down? Stop. And rest. Today we're going to be looking at this idea of what is this rhythm of rest, and how the idea behind it hasn't changed since a very long time ago. In the Old Testament, the Lord tells His people to practice something called Sabbath. In fact, this is one of the Ten Commandments given to Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall not hunt turkeys. On the seventh day you shall rest. We're just teasing, Kevin. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. This was the Lord's command to His people. They were not allowed to work. They were not allowed. And the consequences for breaking the Sabbath is not just a little slap on the wrist. It's a slap in the head with a few thousand rocks. Breaking the Sabbath was a death sentence. But if you were to look at this and you wonder, why does God say this? Much like the Ohio Code of Law, you can read it and wonder, why are the laws like this? In fact, I looked at one of them today, this week, for fun, and I learned that there is no explanation for why the law is written the way it is written. You just say, okay, that's the law, I believe it, I will follow it, I will not go 62 in a 55 zone. And Lord, forgive me that I've done that this morning. But the laws are given, and it doesn't explain why. Why did the Lord give this? And today I want to help you to understand why this law was given, and the motivation behind Sabbath, and why it still remains today. The word Sabbath simply means rest, or a day of rest. I believe the Lord has given Sabbath. He's given rest to His people to remember that He is God, and for His people to be refreshed. Rest was given to help people to remember that God can provide, that God can sustain, that God can make it all work out, even when you take time to rest. In the Old Testament, we can see God doing this in supernatural ways. One example can clearly be seen in the story of manna in Moses' days. It starts like this. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people who are in the wilderness, hungry, are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. So God made food fall from nothing. He made bread appear. And later they called this bread manna. And God told them that they couldn't keep the manna for more than one day. If they did, it would stink and rot with maggots. And that sounds pretty terrible. But on the sixth day, it wouldn't stink. And it wouldn't have maggots. The Lord was giving them instructions for how to follow Him and how to gather food. He was seeing if they could follow His instructions. The story continues much later after a whole bunch of random things in the middle about how to do this. It says in verse 21, each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed. And when the sun grew hot, the manna melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest," which is really translated to be a day of rest, which means total rest. A day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. So don't go out. Don't go bread hunting. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none." Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So the people rested on the seventh day. The instruction was given and enforced by the way that the Lord provided the bread. But the people, the first time, still wanted to go and work, even though they'd been told not to. The Lord had given his people the Sabbath, this day of rest, not just as the law, but as a gift. When the Israelite people failed to keep the Sabbath, the Lord was grieved that they didn't remember him and his commands. But he reminded them again, and then they would follow, and they would find rest. God would provide for them on the Sabbath. And this type of supernatural provision, making what was done in 6 days enough for 7 days, continued throughout the Old Testament. It's miraculous that somehow, because back then you didn't have a day of rest. It wasn't normal. You didn't have a weekend. You just worked all the time. But somehow the Lord made it so the work they did in 6 was more than anyone else could do in 7. And then additionally, on top of giving the people Sabbath days of the week, he also instructed them to do something crazy called Sabbath years. It says in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 4 to 7, "But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your untended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Whatever the land yields during the Sabbath year will be food for you. Whatever the land produces may be eaten." So on top of not working on the Sabbath, every 6 years, you're supposed to take a year off on the seventh. Which, if you ask me, sounds pretty nice. You work for 6 years, and then you do nothing the seventh year. You just hang out. And you don't have to worry about anything. God's going to take care of you. But if you were to ask my dad, who farms, "Hey, Dad, I know you've been farming for a few years now, since 1984. How many Sabbath years have you taken?" And he'd look at me like I was crazy. "I know, we've talked about this before." He says, "Son, I can't do that. I'd lose the farm. I don't have enough to not farm for a whole year, even though I've been doing this for years, because, you know, property taxes exist. And there's still cost even when you're not farming. You can't do this." But back then, the Lord instructed, work for 6, and then on the seventh, you are not to farm. You're not to reap. You're not to sow. You're not to prune. You're not to do any of that. "How can I do this?" Back then, the people would wonder, "How are you even going to eat lunch? How are we going to eat anything? But the Lord provided for them in ways that I still to this day don't understand how. The Lord provided enough food for these people to have enough to eat for the whole year without sowing or pruning or reaping or harvesting anything. But the Israelite people were to rest and trust in the Lord to provide. Trust in the Lord to provide. And during that year of rest, they would spend time with the Lord and spend time with their families to find rest and contentment in existing, to exist, rather than existing to work. A whole year of rest, every 6 years. Sabbath and Sabbath years. So the Sabbath day and Sabbath years as well were given as a gift to God's people, to help them to remember Him, to help them to remember that He can provide, and to find Him in days of rest. The Sabbath and resting was something that was good, but most of the time it seems to have been forgotten, especially the Sabbath years. But at times there were some who were faithful. There were some who remembered. It says in Psalm 46, the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." This is why the Lord gave the Sabbath, to be still, to rest, and to know that He is God. By resting and finding God in the stillness, He's lifted up. He is exalted when you see that what you can do in 6 days is greater than others can do in seven. They see that your God is greater. Your God is greater. There is no other God. Truly, there is no other God, let alone another who gives rest. There is no other Lord. And when we are still, we can know this. When we rest, when we pause, when we stop, when we are still, we can choose to do our own thing and then worry about all the things that are going on. Or we can remember. We can actively know that the Lord is God. The verb in this sentence is know. Be still and know. What does it mean to actively know someone? And when I think about this, I think about actively remembering. How do you help yourself to know something? It's more than just thinking about it. It's taking time to rehearse the things that you know. In the stillness, know the Lord by praying to Him, by speaking to Him, by remembering His promises, by reflecting on what He's done, by remembering how He has provided in your life and the lives of those around you, by reading His Word and by listening to His voice. You can know that He is God actively. You don't just be still and let every thought come into your mind. You be still and you fill your mind with the knowledge of God. Actively remember, actively know that He is who He says He is. Sabbath was given to His people. Rest, the day of rest, was given to God's people in the Old Testament as a law. But in the New Testament, rest was also given, but in a different way. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 29, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." When we go to Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus and then go to Him, we can receive rest from Him. If we come to Him, if we go to Him. Jesus helps us to enter into rest when we give Him our burdens. This doesn't mean that all of our problems disappear overnight. But it does mean that the way that we walk through our problems will change. As we walk with Jesus, He helps us to carry the load. Jesus will carry our load as we are yoked to Him. Jesus uses this analogy of a yoke. And first thing I think of anymore when I think of yoked is marriage. This isn't that analogy. This is different. He's talking about what does it mean to be yoked? And He's using a phrase of how to help someone who's not trained. Back in those days, if you wanted to train an oxen to pull a plow or to do anything with something carrying weight on its shoulders, you would yoke it, a young oxen, to an older one. And you would train the younger one by not putting any weight on the older and just let them carry it. Carry nothing. The younger one would just walk. It would say, oh, I guess this is how we're going. Because it had to. If the other one will walk forward and it'll pull on it, I guess I have to go that way. I guess I have to go. And then eventually they learn to walk together. They walk in pace. Their strides will eventually match. And eventually the younger oxen will start to actually pull its weight. This worked the same for draft horses and donkeys and all the things. This is what people have been doing for generations and decades, millennia even, to take a yoke upon the other one. What Jesus is saying is this analogy. He knows the right way to walk. He is strong and secure. And so what He's saying is, hey, I know you've got a load on you and you don't know how to pull it. It's really hard for you. Put it on Me. And not only will I carry your load, but I will also teach you how to walk in such a way that this burden doesn't feel like a burden anymore. That this burden is easy. That this burden is actually fine. Because in Him you have rest. When you are ready, yoke yourself to Him and He will carry what is behind you. And He will give you rest when you come to Him. Now notice this isn't a qualified time. In the Old Testament, Sabbath was on Friday at sunset till Saturday at sunset. That's the day of Sabbath for the Jewish people. That was the instruction given. Sunset on Friday, sunset on Saturday. That was your roughly 24-hour period of rest. It wasn't it starting at midnight till the next midnight. That's what they did. But what Jesus is saying is, come to Me, period. Not come to Me on Sabbath. Not come to Me every 7 years. It's come to Me whenever. And He will give you rest. And there's one more passage that I want to talk about rest today. It's probably one of the most famous passages in the Bible. It's not John 3:16. It's Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Now I could recite the rest of the thing by memory, or the rest of the psalm by memory, but I want to stop right here because there's something in here that I've never noticed, which I've read it 1,000 times, and I don't know how I've never noticed. You know what it says? It says, He makes me lie down. You know, last night I was trying to make my boy lay down, and I went up 6 times and I told him, Joshua, it's time to go to bed. After I took him to the bathroom and we went potty and we had some applesauce, eventually he went to bed. But I made him lay down. The Lord looks at us and He says, I love you so much, but you need to take a break. There are times when the Lord will say, you must rest. And He makes us to lie down for our good. If Joshua didn't go to bed last night, he would not be okay right now. If Rose didn't go to bed last night, she would not be okay right now. If I did not go to bed last night, I would not be okay right now, and I'm about feeling it because I slept 4 hours. But it's fine. But because I know there's times of rest coming. But the Lord looks at us and he sees us and he sees the way that we live our lives and he's asking, why are you going so fast? Why haven't you stopped? And remember that I am the Lord. Why are you carrying this burden by yourself? Lie down and stop. The Lord makes us lie down in good places. And then he leads us beside the quiet waters. And in the quiet waters, it's still. It's not a roaring rapid. It's stillness. It's stillness. And in that stillness, the Lord refreshes us. This is what David is writing about. He's the king. He was a warrior. He was busy. And what he's saying from his time in the wilderness as a shepherd, he knew what it meant to make a sheep lie down and take a break in a place that they are comfortable. And he said, the Lord is doing this to me in my busyness, in my craziness, as I'm fighting the armies on all sides. The Lord makes me rest. And when he makes me rest, he takes me to a place of joy and contentment, and he refreshes my soul. This was true almost 3,000 years ago, actually. It's still true today. The Lord wants you to rest. He's given it to you as a gift. It's not for him. It's for you. I've seen what happens in people's lives when they don't rest. People's bodies begin to break down when they don't rest enough. It's true. People's mental condition deteriorate when they don't rest. And there's only so much that you can continue to do without rest, let alone the spiritual desert that you go through when you don't spend time with the Lord. And not just on Sunday mornings. Not just on Wednesday nights, but throughout your days and your weeks, we are to rest and rely on Him. Now, when we don't rest regularly, the idea of stopping for just a few minutes even to pray with your eyes closed sounds like a recipe for a nice nap. How many of you have ever fallen asleep praying before? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever fallen asleep praying when you shouldn't have fallen asleep? I've done it. It happens. Because the only times when we shut our eyes and stop is when we're going to bed. But I'd like to challenge you, and as I challenge myself, to take time in your lives to rest. Today, to close our service, we're going to take 3 minutes, and it's going to be real uncomfortable because you're not going to fall asleep for 3 minutes. And we're going to pray. I said earlier, we are to be still, but then we're also supposed to know that He is God. And so, in just a few seconds, I'm going to play some music, and I'm going to challenge you to stay awake for 3 minutes with me. I'm going to try not to sleep over there in my little chair. And we're going to pray for 3 minutes while the music plays. And I want you to actively remember how the Lord is God. to think about how what he's done in your life, to think about how he's provided for you, to think about everything you can think about in 3 minutes, and to spend time in rest. And so, if you would, with me, do your very best for the next 3 minutes to rest. And we'll continue after that. Let's rest together. Three minutes is a long time. But it's not. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 60 minutes an hour. That means you can take 20 times to take 3 minutes each hour. 483 minutes. How often do we take even one? Per day to spend time with the Lord? How long do we even take a minute? The Lord has given us this idea of rest as a gift to us, to help us. To rest. For us. Let's pray together and we'll sing our closing hymn in just a moment. Lord, thank you that you've taught us to rest. We pray that you'll help us to do this going forward, that in you that we can find refreshment and contentment. Pray that you will carry the burden on us that we carry as we come to you. Thank you, Lord. It's in your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. I love that song. Because it's telling us what we should be doing. Not just, when it's saying garden, it just means, hey, anytime you enter into God's presence, He wants to walk with you and talk with you. And to tell you that He loves you, that you are His. The joy that you share with Him. Because He delights when you spend time with Him. He delights with you when you tarry there. I want to encourage you to take time in the garden, whatever that might be, wherever that might be, and to remember and know that He is God. Thank you, Lord, for these songs that help us to remember what You've done for us. Help us to follow You and help us to find rest in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.